drugs would never hurt me. And we taught that as a coping mechanism. When kids go to school and other kids pick on them as things happen and as things take place, in a way to help kids deal with that type of situation. But the truth of the matter is that words do hurt. Words can cut deep. And when I first heard of the comments, I'm the first to say that I wasn't drawn to anger. I really wasn't. I was disappointed, greatly disappointed, and probably more than disappointed, I was saddened. I was saddened that in a state that I love the state dearly, a state that I think have a tremendous amount of potential. And I started thinking about the history of this state. I started thinking about where we are now as a state and in the future. I even thought about the flag that we have. And I think it's Rule 6, Mr. Speaker. Rule 6 says that when a member of this body dies, that the Speaker has the authority to get a state flag and present it to a member of this body's family. Oh, how I would love my family one day to be able to get a flag from the Speaker of this House, to drape it over my coffin and bury me with the flag of the great state of Mississippi. But it hurts me as a Mississippian that that's not going to happen unless something changes. I don't deserve to have a flag that I love or I like, but I do think I deserve to have a flag that I'm not offended by. I don't think that's asking for much. And what saddened me even more about the comments is that I think it shows a lack of understanding in Mississippi. And I do understand some of the members in here who look like me might not agree with me, but I do understand how some may feel that it's about heritage, about pride, about memory. But for other of us, about 40% of the population of the state, it represents hatred, it represents genocide, it represents slavery, it represents the most, in my opinion, darkest period in American history. And what I'm also offended by is that sometimes when it relates to our history, it's marginalized. Martin Luther King holiday, it have to be shared with Robert E. Lee. Why we couldn't have two holidays? Why it had to be marginalized? For the last, I guess about, I don't know if I introduced it last year, but I know for about 4 years running, I introduced a bill to recognize Juneteenth. Didn't get anywhere. So I came back and said that, you know what, it don't have to be a state holiday. Make people go to work, but let's just at least recognize it. It still haven't gone anywhere. Juneteenth, if you didn't know, was the time, is a significant time as it relates to African Americans. It's basically the last group of slaves in this United States, when they found out almost some 2 years later that slavery has ended, they was the last slaves to be set free. But we hadn't been able to just get it documented in our stature as a state. It saddens me that we hadn't been able, the great state of Mississippi, where we can do so much, the potential of this state is so great, but we still have one thorn in our heel that keep us from running, that keep us limping along, that we can't move forward. We hadn't been able to reconcile this difference that we got. And you know, all of this talk started about monuments being removed. And there ought to be other monuments out there. There should be monuments out there recognizing the gentleman from Washington about those individuals who was actually lynched in this state. And I thought about it, and I did a little research, and It was a guy named Pinky Willis, January 16, 1909, was lynched in Poplarville. March 10, 1909, Brother Jenkins in Van Cleve, Mississippi. I don't know where Van Cleve is, but that's where he was lynched. A. Hickens in Poplar Springs, June 9, 1911, Abe Johnson, right in my backyard in Yazoo City. March 20th, Alex Anderson in Grenada. On April the 3rd, 1962, Alex Coleman in Starkville. February the 10th, 1915, Alexander Hill in Brooksville. June the 21st, 1889, Alfred Gizzard in Tiptonville. June 20th, 1894, Alan Myers in Rankin County. October the 6th, 1916, Alan Nance in Greenwood. December the 21st, 1918, and this struck me, might be kinfolk, Andrew Clark in Shibuta. June 21st, 1911, Andrew Trice. July 7th, 1894, Augusta Pond in Tupelo. And August 1st, 1901, Belfort McCray in the great town of Carrollton in Carroll County, right there in the heart of District 48, 46. I'm sure he has some relatives who is a constituent, who probably have heard the story about Mr. McCray passed down from generation for generation. And what made me come up here was when I saw that. And I could only imagine if I lived in Carrollton and my representative had made those comments. And my grandfather or great-grandfather was Mr. McRae. And the hurt and the pain that some family in Black Hawk or Carrollton or Vaden that's probably going through right now. And they deserve an apology as well. A gentleman came to me today and he made what I call a heartfelt apology. But I think one thing, my dad always say, God works in mysterious ways, and maybe it's a lesson not only for the gentleman from Montgomery, but I think it's a lesson for all of us, is that as a state, as the people that's been ordained, that's sent here. You know, I say all the time that this is a fraternity. Almost 3 million people in this state, but only 122 of us, God have blessed us with the privilege of serving in this body. And I think we have to be leaders. I think each one of us have to go back. We come from all corners of this state, and we have to go back, and we have to do that soul searching, and we have to change the state. We have to heal the division that we have in this state. And we have to understand, don't marginalize something that you don't agree with, but we have to work together and make the state of Mississippi better. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Gentleman from Hines, Mr. Dorch, what purpose you seek recognition? You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I barely decided to come up here, but listening to Adrian ask about what do we do next, I started thinking about the gentleman from Holmes and his father, who came up here in 1968 and was a legislator of one. He wasn't part of this body as far as any caucus. They took his desk out front, sawed in half, and he sat there for 2 years basically alone. And basically just because he was the first black member since Reconstruction to come to this house. for no reason other than because he was black. So when we think about what we can do as far as the gentleman from Montgomery, the fact that he is still welcome for whatever caucus he is in tells me more about that caucus than anything. It tells me if the furthest you can do is think and say I condemn him, but you still welcome him into your caucus as a member, he should be a member of one, just like the gentleman from Holmes. My deskmate is doing some ambitious project to talk about why Mississippi is in last place and how do we get there. When we have our discussions, I often bring up our history. We have a shared history that has led us to last place. And that's the most important thing that offended me about the gentleman's comments, that we wanted to erase history. I wish we actually learned our history, learned what these monuments mean, learned what that flag means and how that has affected and held back our state. The fact that we have a governor who issues proclamations on behalf of the Confederacy, honoring the Confederacy, we have a flag that honors the Confederacy, and we don't stop to think about what the Confederacy is. So this is what the Confederacy said they were about. This is from Alexander Stevens, the Vice President of the Confederacy. He said it was founded on the foundations are laid and its cornerstone rests upon the great truth that the Negro is not equal to the white man, that slavery to the superior race is its natural and normal condition. This is our new government. It's the first in the history of the world based upon this great physical, philosophical, and moral truth. So it is pretty painful for a black person growing up in this state to see almost everywhere we go memorials honoring this government, this rebellion in our state. We have schools named after people. I wish the member, the gentleman from Montgomery, would take the time to actually think about the shared history that we have as a state and think about how that has held us back for so long. And I hope that the members of his caucus think about the position that you're taking by welcoming him as a member. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The lady from Hines, Ms. Clark, what purpose do you seek recognition? Okay, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen, I've had the pleasure of serving in this House for 33 years. And of that time that I have been here, I have not been to the well on this kind of occasion. And what I want to do today is I want to just sort of, you've gotten a good story of what it's like for us people who have the same hue that I have. But what you don't know is that I grew up in the Mississippi Delta, the cotton picking Delta. And where my parents were there, we had to worry about the next day if everybody in the family would make it back for what their chores were. Those were just things that seemed to have been a part of life for us. And it got to be the place that it wasn't anything that people really wanted to do or be about. And you don't understand what that was like unless you've had to go through those kind of things. You probably don't know, but James Meredith is my cousin. And some of you know about some of the things that he's gone through. And you know what might even happen to the stature that he has on the campus where he went. You know what you know about the noose that was put around that? And you know about how that made the rest of us feel? Can you imagine what that made us feel? What would you, how would you have felt had that been one of your family members? And that's just one of the things. Now, that's a stature. That's not real people. But I know of family members, real people, who were hanged. But I go back and I try to say to myself, what, remember when Jesus was on the cross? You remember what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's what I'm saying. I forgive you. I think you didn't really know at the time what you were doing. And I say that in all sincerity. You knew what you were doing, but you didn't know what you were doing. I also don't think you knew what it would do to our state. I don't know if you know about it, but I received calls from Pennsylvania, from Michigan, from all, I think there were six different states that I received calls from saying, how in the world do you serve with somebody like that? I said, I don't know what you mean, somebody like that. They said, you haven't seen, you haven't read. And all I'm saying is that this has not just been for black folks. This has been for Mississippi, not good. So I am just asking all of us, start doing people like you'd want to be treated. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. That's all I'm asking. And I think life in this place would be much better for all of us. That's all I ask. And I think that's all the man upstairs would ask of us. You know, we all say we're Christians. We're Christians. We come in, we pray every day. And if we're doing that, and if we mean half of what we say when we get up there and pray, this world will be a much better place for all of us. Thank you so very much, Mr. Speaker.